Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Living Dementia Free. And my very special guest to talk about that is Dorothy Kuhn. While our guest, a partner at Dumas Capital Partners, helps middle market businesses create greater value, profit, and growth, today she shares her unlikely story into and out of dementia. Dorothy used her network of experts, her 10 years plus of personal development, and her business skills to turn around this condition. Until recently, it's been considered incurable. Fortunately, many dementias can be turned around. Her business skill, confidence in solving tough problems, and consistent blessing for meeting the best people, including her doctor, allowed her to regain her memory and her focus. She's recently regained her head math skills. Dorothy shares her journey out of dementia and into life anew. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.livedementiafree.com. And I do have a direct link to Dorothy's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dorothy to the show. Good day, Dorothy.
Good day, Robert.
You know, this particular topic of dementia is going to be becoming more and more prevalent in today's society with our aging population. But I would love to, if you wouldn't mind, share with the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Robert. And I grew up a mystical Catholic kid running around the woods with my little brothers and the neighbor kids back on the East Coast, and we were just, particularly me, just so fascinated with how cool God made the world, had to learn all about it. I studied science. It's really the best friend of us, keeps us out of the world of wild speculation. Went on, as we moved to Texas, to study science and math more and more, graduated high school, who's who in physics here in North Texas, and went to the University of Texas at Arlington, in physics and math. I'm really quite the geek at heart. Graduated there with honors and off to the world of working in industry where I got my first job because I knew more quantum mechanics than anybody else. I really am a geek at heart.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
go ahead. No, go ahead. I mean, that's quite an intensive geek. I mean, you know, the topics themselves are very technical in nature.
They are. Just think Big Bang Theory with mascara. There you go.
Okay.
So anyway, I came back to Texas to work for Texas Instruments on the military side of the house and was tapped by them to be TI's representative to Carnegie Mellon University, where I co-authored a capability maturity model, an industry standard in systems engineering. We worked with the Department of Defense and every major aerospace and military contractor because the problem to be solved really was how do we get, you know, military systems that meet the need and don't cost too much. And guess what? We can maintain them in the fields, too. That's a tough problem to solve, and we really up-leveled the entire industry with that body of work. Really proud of that. But, you know, I was a real geek, and I noticed other people had this thing called influence and people skills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when I went into I stumbled my way into personal growth and development because, you know, when you want something, you'll just notice where things are just so that you can get it in the world. Wanting something is really key to a successful life. So I went on to develop the, you know, some ability at influence and people skills. I became a Rotarian. I worship at Trinity Presbyterian Church here in my hometown of Denton, Texas. And with Dumas Capital, we are members at Texas Concilium. It's part of that really wonderful public-private partnership between the Department of Commerce, the state of Texas, and our local manufacturing base, which are typically family-held companies, to help them get stronger and healthier, because they're the kinds of companies that employ people at a good living wage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good for our local economies. So those are the kinds of things that I've done. And always when I'm working with companies, they've got problems to solve. And the idea there that's so effective for them is to find out what's the root cause of that problem and solve it at the root cause. That way they don't have to, like, block and tackle through the symptoms week after week after week and make themselves kind of miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that seems to be quite often in today's society, it's trying and, you know, attack the symptoms versus the cause. And, you know, when you're covering up Band-Aid, put a Band-Aid on it when, it, you know, you really want to try and get to the heart of the matter.
Exactly.
Now, with you, how did you come to know that dementia was going to be a problem for you?
Well, I had been struggling for a while in my mid-50s, and the day that I knew that I wasn't, like, dealing with it very well anymore, it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 2013. I spent a wonderful weekend with my two grown kids, and on Sunday, I was talking with my son as though the conversation we had the day before, in which I'd been fully engaged, had never happened. My daughter was looking at me like, you know, that silent face that screams at you?
Yeah, wow.
I couldn't pretend. I could not pretend I was dealing with it anymore. I'd struggled for 3 years, and it was just getting worse. Things that had always been easy for me were getting harder and harder. I'd stay up late at night just to try to keep up and do what, you know, needed to be done in my work life, wondering how could I make it to retirement? You know, I was in my mid-50s. I have ways to go.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, yeah, I have, yeah, one of my dearest longtime friends, just within the last couple of years has, you know, it's really set in. And she just recently moved from one part in California to another part, and in a series of probably 5 different phone calls over a period of like 2 weeks, each time she called me with the news that she was moving, you know, and it was just heartbreaking, you know, because it was like, oh my goodness, yeah. So,
yeah.
You said you struggled with it for a few years. So, was there a reason? I mean, at that particular time when you were struggling, did you have any idea, you know, that that's what it was? And you know, did you think that maybe that was what was starting to show?
I was in complete denial.
Okay.
My dad had it. He had an unusual form of dementia called Lewy body disease. And, you know, I'm the healthy kid in the family. I work out. I'm not overweight. I eat right. I thought. And, you know, I just chalked his stuff up to not taking good care of himself. But I you know, what I didn't know was what it takes when you're predisposed to dementia, what it takes to take the triggers out so that it doesn't show up in your life.
Yeah. Now, you know, and we're going to be talking about, you know, first of all, there are many different forms of dementia, correct? And
yeah.
And now, was yours diagnosed as any particular type?
So I want to address that diagnosis thing. I had a functional diagnosis, and we are always looking to diagnose from that perspective as early as possible, because just like any condition, you catch it early, you know, you can turn it around much more effectively. I have a very, I'm a person that has a pretty low tolerance for feeling bad. And even though I was pretty miserable, it's extraordinarily frustrating to not be able to remember things and to have life feel like it's coming at you blindsided, kind of. So I was very frustrated, but, you know, I didn't have any other medical conditions that could possibly attribute to memory. And there are, you know, 8 to 10 medical conditions that can show up like their dementia, but they aren't. And so we're always looking for what that is. I had none of those. I was happy. I was frustrated, but I was happy and joyful in my life. I didn't have anxiety. I was confident in my future, even so I couldn't remember my past. it was a really goofy time. But, you know, catching things preclinically is a really important step. And when I speak, and I speak all over North Texas and with wonderful shows like this all around the country, it's really important to know and keep an eye out for those early, early signs so that you can do something really meaningful about it.
Yeah, very much so. So now, you know, you talk about, you know, that forgetfulness. So what for you differentiated the, like, senior moment, you know, the kind of thing that we occasionally have, like, oh, my God, you know, I forgot this, versus something that's more symptomatic?
That's a great question. And, you know, if you go to the ALZ.org, the Alzheimer's Association site, they've got really good information on this. And I've used very similar information so that people, when they go to livedementiafree.com, they can see side by side what's the difference between a normal senior moment and signs of dementia. And for those signs, we're not looking for any one thing, because you never know exactly where that damage is going to show up in your brain, and where it is kind of changed, you know, the symptoms go with the location that's been damaged. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So for example, it is normal after the age of about 50 to go into a room and think, why did I come in here? You know? Yeah, it happens. And for a normal senior moment like that, it'll come to you in a few seconds, or you can backtrack to the room that you just came from and go, oh, yeah, I know why, and then go take care of your business. That's a normal senior moment because our bodies change, our hormones change, et cetera. But with signs of dementia, you walk in there, you can't pull it up. You going back to the previous room doesn't bring it back to you. You'll ask the same questions or tell the same stories over and over again, not because you want to share your wisdom from having lived on the wonderful planet for a long time, but because you just don't remember that you just told that story 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, boy. You know, and I've done that, you know, as far as walking into the room, forgetting why I was there, and then, you know, kind of doing the backtrack, and, you know, and it generally does show up, you know, thank goodness so far.
Right, you know. Yeah.
But, yeah, now, for you, was it that, was it with your children and that little kind of interaction with them? Is that when you let you know that your memory wasn't working? Is that kind of like the moment when it really hit you, or were there other instances?
There were lots of other instances. I'd been struggling for 3 years at that point, and that struggle was getting worse and worse and worse. Things that had always been easy for me. And just so you know, dementia has a very different pattern from a normal disease. You know, like, take your bronchitis, for example. Bronchitis, you know, you're feeling fine, and then you don't feel so good, and then you start to feel really bad, right? Yeah, and then you go to the doctor, and they give you some antibiotics and other medicines like that, and a couple of days, you're feeling a lot better, right?
That's right. Hopefully.
Yeah, and then it takes, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to get rid of the residual cough and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's a handful of weeks, and you're beginning to end right then with it.
Back to health.
Yeah, back to health. But it's not that way with dementia. Our researchers tell us And I love these guys. They find out so much useful information about these odd conditions, and it helps us figure out what to do. But they tell us that, dementia starts in play 20 to 30 years before those early signs start showing up.
Wow.
So it was in play for a long time, and some of the earliest symptoms are very subtle. They are symptoms in the way the brain and the body, instead of talking to one another well, start miscommunicating with one another. And looking back, I can see some things that were bothering me in my early 40s that, you know, no doctor, they couldn't figure out what it was. I couldn't figure out what it was. It was just like this, my left shoulder was bothering me all the time. I'd go to the doctor, they, you know, put it back in kind of proper position. I'd try to, and it just always bothered me. People thought, yeah, Dorothy, you know, what's up with that shoulder? And when I got the dementia turned around, that shoulder got happy too, because my it's a left shoulder where I had that trouble. My damage from the dementia, we'll talk about what caused that damage in just a minute. But that damage came in a location that's on the right side of my brain. And, you know, brains do that cross-lateral thing where the right side controls the left side of the body.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay.
So I could see, looking back, I could see those things, but I didn't know enough to be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
And during that time with doctors, there was no indication that that was a symptom of what is yet to come.
Right. It's, you know, when those symptoms are so subtle, you know, it's, you don't have enough of the pieces of the puzzle to kind of put together and see what the picture is going to be like. But, you know, looking backwards, you can go, oh, that's when I first started.
Okay.
So it just, the point is that it takes a long time to build up. And therein lies the magic. Because when you know what to look for, and I always recommend that people, you know, by the time they're in their late 40s, early 50s, just make themselves aware. And that's a big part of what I do when I'm speaking. So that when stuff shows up, they can just go, oh, because it's not scary anymore. You know, you either don't have it for a time, or now you have an option to get it fixed. So you want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that awareness is really critical. And like you said, you know, the earlier, the better.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of casually mentioned about causes of dementia, so I would like to explore that. What is science, or, you know, what does your research have to show for that, or, you know, what's your opinion on that?
So the research shows that the most common forms of dementia are caused by a weakness in the blood-brain barrier, where things that are in your bloodstream, they're necessary and good in your blood, but they don't belong in your brain tissues. When those things start to seep out, when that blood-brain barrier is weak, they'll start to seep out, and they will blow up. I'm being a little bit dramatic here, but they'll damage your brain cells over time. And now we've got about 86 billion neurons, brain cells, in our lovely heads. And you can imagine that you could lose a few of those 86 billion, and it's not a big, big deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, most people have had a bender or two in college.
I'm sure a few of them have gone by the wayside for me, too.
Yeah. It just took one for me. I'm like, oh, man, this is not doing this anymore.
Really?
But, you know, there are things that happen.
Right.
You know, we think about our athletes who have those terrible head injuries. That's another way that you can, you know, have the a lot of damage to brain cells. But the most common form is really that weakness in the blood-brain barrier. And you can't tell which part of the brain that weakness is going to show up at. And where that weakness shows up is where you get the most damage and earliest.
Mm.
So when you've got damaged brain cells, you know, your brain works because there are a whole collection of brain cells that work together to hold the thought. Every meaningful thought and belief and skill that you have is physically represented in your brain tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lose, you know, little groups of brain tissue, I can imagine that doesn't help you think and do things that used to be easy for you.
Right. You know, and, you know, I would think, you know, I mean, with your background in physics and math, that, I mean, there's just a whole lot of, you know, information, you know, that, I mean, you know, to me that's, you know, when I think of dementia, I mean, I would think that those, a lot of the aspects in that area would be lost. And, you know, and I mentioned actually in the introduction that you're about your head math skills.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I just find it fascinating because, I mean, here you come from a very science and, you know, math based education, you know, but now you're dealing with, you know, that blood-brain barrier and losing some of that. So, you know, to me, it's, I'm sure the scientist in you really was curious as to how to make this work.
Right, right. And really, it was with at our clinic that that all of the biological kinds of the functional biology really came to the fore. I don't have that expertise, but, you know, I'm really good at finding people. and you know, I always give praise to God because I can't make it all
right
on my own. But
yeah.
To your point, ask me that question again because I went on a little bit there.
About the head math skills, you know.
Oh,
so
head math.
Yeah, that was that an area that was affected for you where that functioning occurred?
Yes, it got harder and harder to do head math. And, you know, I'm the kind of gal who for decades would talk about a couple of numbers and I would immediately, you know, run the percentage in my head. Bam, it's there. You know, I was not doing that in my mid-50s. I had to go to Excel, and it's a good thing I've got good Excel skills. I can do any kind of math I want in there. Well, short of differential equations. But we've got three strategies that we employ to help people, and these we're really looking to help people in those very earliest preclinical stages, because by the time you've been, you know, medically diagnosed, you've got a lot more damage, and the more damage, the harder it is to recover. And then there's this other thing related to people who have been medically diagnosed, you know, their ability to think, and I was getting close to this, Robert, it was really getting scary, ability to think and figure things out and make well-informed decisions that are in your own best interest starts to go away. And so there's the whole concern about, you know, A, can they do the protocol? I'll tell you the protocol at a high level in a minute. And B, you know, who's really making those decisions? Because, you know, you want to protect people who don't have all the mental wherewithal they once had, right?
Right, right.
That's really important.
But our three
strategies, I'll tell you about them whenever you're ready.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Talk about those strategies.
Okay, good. So I wrap all of these strategies in some really strong coaching. The thing that makes this work is that these are habit changes. And, of course, by the time we're in our 50s, we've been having our habits for a long time. So it takes some support to be able to up-level your habits. These three strategies that are wrapped in some really strong coaching are strategies that, A, stop the damage that's happening in your brain. B, it recovers your brain function. And C, we have some sustainability habits so that you're not overstimulating your brain in a way, you know, if it's a damaged part of your body, you don't want to overuse it, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do we live in the most overstimulated time in human history?
That's for sure. Yep. I mean, people multitasking, using all kinds of devices, and yeah, we're just bombarded with information.
Yeah, like 24 hours a day. And, you know, you look back just 100 years ago, and people lived in agrarian culture. They weren't listening to structured, organized music all the time. They were listening to the leaves rustling in the trees, you know, which are just such calming sounds for us. And so we've got the whole sustainability piece. But back to stopping the damage. For most people, here's the really great news. Those are common foods, most typically, and we test to find out what it is for each individual is the food that's triggering their body to attack your own tissues. Because you don't want your body to attack your own tissues, do you?
No. So, I'm sorry, you said food? We're talking food. About food?
Okay. Yeah, so I'll tell you the three most common, and if our listeners have got a pad and pencil right now, jot down MSG. The three most common, they tend to be low-level inflammatory foods, are milk products like cow's milk and goat's milk, including cheese, butter, milk, ice cream, gelato. I was just sad today. I realized I had to
shift
the bunch.
Yeah.
I love the bad stuff. But guess what? I found something better.
Okay.
It doesn't trigger me. We'll talk about those kind of side steps in a minute. So milk products. And then the S is soy products. You know, these are foods like in milk, there's that casein protein that when you're predisposed to dementia, it weakens that blood-brain barrier.
So you've got to take
out the things that are triggering that mechanism. So milk, soy. Now, soy is everywhere in our foods. You know, I mean, even in chocolate, soy lecithin is kind of they use it, I think, for a stabilizer or to make it smoother. I'm not sure exactly why it's in there, but it's common in chocolate even. Most salad dressings have soy oil in them, so you know, you'd be better off to make your salad dressing at home with olive oil or grapeseed oil and whatever kind of vinegar you like or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the G is gluten. So, that's many forms of wheat and spelt and even corn. I didn't realize corn had gluten in it, but you know what, Robert? You can go to the feed store here in Texas and buy corn gluten in 50-pound bags.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't do it.
Wow. No. But it's amazing that, you know, I would never have thought of gluten in corn.
Who would have thought that? So, anyway, and those are the three most common things that affect, like, 80% of people that we see have got a low-level sensitivity to those things, and you take those things out of their food. Overall, they feel better. Their brain fog begins to lift, and they're not triggering that mechanism for weakening the blood-brain barrier. But that's not the whole story, because you can't tell by looking at somebody what are the particulars for them. In my case, you know, we tested, and we found out two or three foods that are particular to me that I don't eat anymore because I don't want my brain cells to
grow. Right.
And for my doctor, it's a different set. So we have some things in common. That's why we test, because we're scientists.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to know. So the food and avoiding MSG, milk, soy, and gluten as far as triggers.
Exactly. And you can avoid MSG itself because the G in MSG stands for glutamate.
Mm-hmm.
So may as well stay away from that. And it's, you know, like at the Chinese restaurant or something. Of course, there's plenty of soy at the Chinese restaurant, too.
Right. Yeah.
So now I go to the Thai places.
Exactly. So now, as far as with the three strategies.
That's the first one.
That's the first one, okay, food.
Yeah, so the second one is to activate the brain. So the reason we want to activate the brain, and we use, God made us a unified whole, go figure. And when you are active in your body, then you activate your brain. And we do general movement and then specific movement to help recruit more blood and activity and brain function recovery in the part of your brain that is damaged for you. And that we find out from a full functional assessment, which is extraordinarily simple and powerful.
Okay, so activating the brain, now you're talking about bodily movement to activate the brain?
Yes. So here's here I'll give you two examples of general ones that our listeners can take home and do today, no cost at all. Go out for a walk and swing your arms a little bit. That is a cross-lateral movement. Think about how babies crawl. You know, the right hand goes up, the left knee goes up, et cetera, et cetera. That's a cross-lateral movement, and it's very activating for the brain. So you want to do as much in the way of cross-lateral movements as we can. And you know, in our culture, we just sit way too much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I will say that for me, my every day I start with a good 3-mile walk. That's my time in the morning, and I always get balanced. But I haven't waved my arms, so I'm gonna go ahead and do that lateral part. So.
Yeah, that cross-lateral part is really powerful. And then another thing that we take in more data, more information through our eyes than any other little part of our body. They're small and powerful, those blue or brown or green beauties of yours. And when you look, hold your head straight as though you're looking straight ahead, and then take your eyes and go just point your eyeballs, not your head, just your eyeballs, all the way to the right. And then all the way to the left, and go back and forth like that for about a minute. And it's very activating for the brain.
Okay.
You can even do that at a red light or in a boring meeting.
Okay. Just don't do it right with the person speaking. They're bored. They're doing that eye movement thing. that's good. But then, those are good things. I mean, those are very easy to do, and they can be done any time of day, very little, effort. But those are something that can definitely activate the brain and get one going.
Yes. So those are the general things. And then once we've fully assessed someone to see where their damage might be, then we'll give them specific movements. I have specific movements that I do 4 or 5 times a day that keep the part of my brain that got damaged. It tends to overfire, and it calms it down so that I can remember better. Because when it's overfiring, it gets in the way of storing what's happened in the big wide world. And you know what a memory is? It's because something happened in the world, and you store it in your brain tissue so that you can pull it out, retrieve it later. Well, if something's getting in the way of either the storing or the retrieving, it'll show up like you're not remembering.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And what would the third strategy be?
So that is sustainability strategies. When people are changing their personal habits, we set them up. Our science shows that you can change any habit when you've got 5 or 6 support structures in place. So we make sure that you've got your support structures in place. Those are allies among your family and friends. People eat at home, they eat in restaurants, they eat in the car, and, lots of Americans do anyway. And we make sure that they've got good strategies so that they're not triggered into, I'm starving, I got to stop in and get something that's, off my diet. That kind of stuff. And then how to make those habits simple. So that's one piece of the sustainability. Another piece is getting people to, a lot of people have got a television in their bedroom. You need to move that thing way out so you're not tempted to turn on that television and overstimulate your brain unnecessarily with sound and visuals as you're trying to calm yourself down to go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So... Yeah, I personally, I don't have one in my room, and I also tend to be very careful about what it is that I'm watching, before I go to bed, because I'm one of those who you know, dreams, very vivid dreamer. And I have so many times found myself dreaming, you know, something that I saw right before I went to bed. And it's like, oh, I don't want to have nightmares. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like I tend to, you know, just pick something that is, you know, a little bit more calming, you know, and it doesn't, you know, give me all, you know, my adrenaline flowing and that kind of thing, you know, because it, to me, that's, for me, it never worked, you know. I mean, it just, I had bad side effects.
Very, very good. And, you know, I'm sitting in my office here, and I like bright colors, but I've got very calm colors on the wall. I don't have any overhead lighting. The lighting is at eye level. It's just enough lighting. It's not bright like I used to have, and just all kinds of, you know, it's a collection of individual things that add up, just like pennies, nickels, and quarters add up to real money over time, you know?
Yeah. So now, one of the things, you know, we're talking about, you know, one of the strategies is to activate the brain, but then there's also times when we want to calm the brain. So is it kind of that we have to make sure that we have periods of both in our daily life?
Yes, you want to activate your brain with that body-mind connection with walking and swinging your arms and doing specific movements that might be prescribed for you as an individual. And, you know, life isn't all just about one thing. We are just, you know, fearfully and wonderfully and complexly made. So, of course, it takes more than one thing to
keep
us healthy and in the space we want. And for the calming down piece, you know, it's important to have a way. And here used to be my way of calming down. I would run like a go, 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 go all day and then fall asleep exhausted. And that worked for me until I was about 40, and then I needed to, like, have some transition time.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
And so having that, I've adopted a yoga. I do yoga in the evenings, and I do meditation a time or two a day. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful.
Great. Now, great. So those the three strategies that we had, you know, with the milk, activate the brain, and then for sustainability. So those were the three strategies. Now, you mentioned something about a protocol. What was that?
Yeah, so the protocol is we're going to assess and find out what is that damage for you as an individual. So on this call today, you know, we've talked about some of the general strategies, but we're going to see or the general things that cause damage, but we want to see what it is for you because it could be something else, right? Heavy metals can be a cause, and so you have a different way of taking care of that. We see that more with folks who live, for example, in Hawaii, where they eat a lot more fish. They're large fish. They've been having a lot of time to get mercury in their tissues, and when you eat a lot of that stuff, it gets in your tissues.
Okay. All
so
right.
So that first strategy, the protocol really is understand what's triggering dementia to express itself in your life. Take out those triggers. You know, I'm here from Texas. We shoot around here, at least hands on the fence, you know. We try to be calm about it, or at least most of us. Anyway, you know, if you take any gun, take the trigger out of it, it's just not going to do much damage.
Right.
That's what we want.
Absolutely.
And then we're just going to recover that function and set you up for sustainability in a way that's really meaningful and let you live the life you want.
Yeah, very, very important. Yeah, you know, because each person is individual, and, you know, it's really important to have that that assessment. Now, when you started this process, how long did it take for you to start seeing results for yourself in your life?
I had a really quick response to it, and part of that, it's hard to know exactly what is going on, but 3 months later, I had to, ask, so how much runway does this buy me, you know, like into my future? 6 months, a year, 5 years maybe? And my doctor said, Dorothy, you keep up these new habits and you will have a dementia-free brain for the rest of your life.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm relentless about my new habits. Just relentless. And I have fun with them, too. I know you can't tell. I don't like to have any fun at all.
No, I could tell. No. But, you know, but see, I, you know, when you're talking about, especially when you're talking about changing habits and ones that have been ingrained for such a long time, that it, you know, generally in the very beginning, it can be very difficult, you know, to change, to make the change. But if you, you know, add a little bit of fun with it and recognize, you know, like in your case, you knew that if those habits did not change, it was going to be leading you down a path that you wouldn't be happy with, you know, and you know, that dementia, you know, that dementia life, you know, was not for you. So in that sense, I mean, you really had incentive to make those habits, you know, work for you.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, it seemed, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, that's part of what I bring to my clients, because, you know, when they, you know, developing what the future is going to be like on one path for the other, so that they really, you know, sometimes when we kind of, oh, that's a bad thing, that's a notion out there, it doesn't seem so bad, we might stumble into a bad way of living that gets us results we would never want. Without really thinking through it. And that's part of the whole mindset piece. And there's a whole bunch more that really sets people up to realize what, you know, to develop that strong desire. That's, oftentimes when we're first working with clients, they're like, yeah, I want to avoid dementia. But we make sure that they are really clear on what that means and how it plays out in their life, because it's so motivating when you hit the wall, like the day I realized I would never have gelato again. I was not happy that day. But you know what? I worked through it with the strategies that we use. And, mm-hmm. you know, the next day I was like, okay, I'm going to go find something better. And bam.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and you know, to me it's just – you know, when you, I mean, every day, you know, all the choices that we make, especially with nutrition, you know, it's just so many people don't put proper attention to that. And, you know, if we were just to give a little bit more consideration to what it is that we eat and be a little bit healthier, then, I mean, everything else in life, you know, falls more into place, you know.
You're so right.
I think
that a little pill will make us healthy when everything we put in, like 100 times that much, into our mouths in one meal.
Yeah.
You know, where's the balance in that equation? I don't know.
Yeah. And then you don't have the side effects like a pill. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
All of those, you know, it may kill you type of side effects. But,
right.
And,
you know, to that point, yeah. You know, you look on the Alzheimer's site, there are some medicines. We see them advertised on TV for Alzheimer's medicines. And you look on the Alzheimer's site, I'm reading to you right now exactly what it says. It says, where do I have that? Oh, current medications cannot cure Alzheimer's or stop it from progressing.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think is really important is, you know, you have recognized, you know, there, you know, you were heading down a particular path and you made changes, and as a result of those changes, you know, you have shifted the trajectory of your mental health, you know, and I think that's what people really need to consider, you know, and you mentioned your father had dementia, a different type, but, you know, for those out there who have a family history of that, that's really something for them to keep in mind and consider to be looking at and, you know, do that little ounce of prevention right now.
Oh, yes, it's so worth it. And, you know, when you've dodged a bullet that takes other people out, life opens up in a big way that is just amazing.
Yeah,
very much. Well, now, gosh, we're down to the last 5 minutes here, Dorothy. So is there, you know, any information that you would like to share with listeners that we didn't cover? Maybe, you know, a little bit about, you know, what it is that you offer through your Live Dementia Free website?
Yes. So when people go to livedementiafree.com, they get the early warning signs. They just sign up to your first name and your email address, and you will get those early warning signs. And then you'll get, if you want to have a conversation to find out what makes sense for you, we can set that up for you. I do webinars from time to time, telephone conferences like this where people can, you know, hear more detailed information to let them know, are these all the early warning signs that I'm seeing in my life? And so we go deep into those early warning signs so people get a really better idea of, am I having a normal senior moment or not? Do I need to check a little further or am I good for now? We want people always to have the confidence to know where they are now with respect to brain health. And this is really the health of your brain tissue. What's the integrity of that tissue? You want it to be the same good integrity it's been for most of your life.
Yeah, very much. Well, that's great. You know, that's a wonderful thing to offer people, and those early warning signs are really important. So.
Yes, and then we'll do a complimentary call with people for people who want that. Happy to see what makes sense for them moving forward.
Great, wonderful. Well, Dorothy, I really thank you for your time. Now you're on Facebook. We're connected on Facebook, so people can join you there. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Live Dementia Free.
Great, Live Dementia Free there, and I want to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate your conversation. I've had several shows with people, actually, you know, more specific Alzheimer's shows, and each one has really taught me something new, you know, and I'm happy to hear about these three strategies that we talked about today. Those are very helpful.
Oh, my pleasure to be here, Robert. You're a wonderful interviewer, and I had a wonderful, great time. I'm blasting you out to every place on my social media so that other people can know how cool you are.
Great. Well, I thank you very much. I very much appreciate that, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you as well. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dorothy Kuhn. We have been speaking about Live Dementia Free. And again, you can find out more by visiting Dorothy's website, which is www.livedementiafree.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.